Next presentation is entitled Adapting a Pregnancy Prevention Curriculum for Hawaiian and Pacific Islander Populations. And we're actually going to have two presenters on this. We have Judith Clark and Darlene Dubral-Tudela. I hope I said that right. Okay, good. Judith Clark has served as the Executive Director of the Hawaii Youth Services Network for 8 years. There she administers a network of over 50 youth services organizations. She is a grant reviewer and peer monitor for the Family and Youth Services Bureau of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. She was on the clinical faculty at the University of Hawaii School of Public Health from 1994 to 2000 and has been the co-owner of a farm in the Waiahole Valley for 32 years. She has an MPH from the University of Hawaii and has participated in APHA's MCH Community Leadership Institute. Darlene Tudela is a program coordinator for the CDC Promoting Science-Based Approaches Project. She has worked closely with the facilitators of the Making Proud Choices program on adaptations to fit local youth.
I'd like to also acknowledge Dr. Catherine Braun, who is the evaluator for our project, who was very helpful in preparing this presentation. As the others, I have nothing to disclose. Hawaii is special. If you allow people to select only one race or ethnic group, 55% of our population identifies as Asian, 20% are Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. 72% of our children are classified as ethnic minorities. We have the largest percentage of residents of mixed race of any state, 21.4%. Therefore, most couples are of mixed race and ethnicity. We see a lot of differences among ethnic groups on many factors, including teen pregnancy rates. And about two-thirds of our pregnant teens in Hawaii are Hawaiian and Pacific or Pacific Islander. We get very frustrated at seeing statistics that lump together Asians and Pacific Islanders in one group. They are physically separated by thousands of miles, and they do not, in many, many areas, have similar characteristics. Carla gave you some of this same data. We have fewer students who have ever had sex, but we have a higher teen pregnancy rate than the U.S. average. At the same time, our teen birth rate is lower than the U.S. average, which reflects relatively good access to abortion. We have the lowest rate of condom use in the U.S. and the sixth worst rate of chlamydia. When we use videos and role plays that are developed in other parts of the United States, our students think they don't look like us, they don't talk like us. When we greet each other, we say, "Hey, brah, how's it? What do you say?" Their names are not familiar, and I've given you some examples of names that are common among different ethnic groups. And, of course, none of the settings are familiar. Our trees do not turn color in the fall. We do not have snow except on top of a 14,000-foot mountain. And so you see Hawaii over there on the left. And what do our students think? They say, "This doesn't relate to us," and they turn off. Darlene?
How do I switch it? To a different presentation? Oh, no, no. Switch the slide.
Oh, you can press the space or press the button.
Okay. Okay, so for the adaptations that we wanted to make, obviously our kids did not relate to the videos for the reasons Judy stated. When we were looking at doing adaptations, I worked very closely with the facilitators who were doing making proud choices in the schools and in the after-school programs. And we found that there were certain videos that worked within the curriculum and then some that did not. So with our, I'm sorry, the slides are different so from what I have. So some of them showed we changed the role plays and the videos. The role plays, we added more local, obviously, settings and wordings and names. We featured multi-ethnic characters, used familiar settings. Tattooing in Hawaii, kind of like the garage tattooing, is very popular with Pacific Islanders. They don't normally go to the tattoo shops. They tend to go have their uncle do it, and we wanted to make sure to include that in our videos so that they know that there is danger with that, because a lot of them don't realize that garage tattooing is dangerous, especially when you're with families. You think it's safe, but reusing needles, obviously, and ink is dangerous. So we needed to address that with them. We, as you will see in the videos, there is a lot of pigeon in it. So you guys may be wondering what they're talking about. If you have any questions, you can ask after. But we wanted to make sure that we included pigeon within the videos, and the dialect is very heavy. So again, if you have any questions, just ask us after. So like I said, we addressed local HIV and STI risk factors. One of them was the sharing needles. There's little IV use, drug use among Pacific Island teens, but tattooing is common. We adjust local cultural values. One of the main things in the islands is the cultures are very patriarchal. I come from a small island called Pohnpei in Micronesia, and I've lived in the other islands, and throughout the culture is very patriarchal, and men usually make the decisions about sex practices. It's very uncommon for a woman to take responsibility for sexual activity, as far as using condoms and requesting condom use. We wanted to make the videos show females who are more assertive and empowering so that they take responsibility for their own bodies. We added messages about male responsibility, because a lot of times in the Pacific culture, the men do not take response. I'm sorry. They do not tend to take that upon themselves. It's usually on the women. And I know that some cultures here obviously are the same. They tend to place the responsibility of sexual responsibility on the women. Within the adaptations, we worked with the facilitators and added local statistics and to the curriculum. One thing we found within the sessions was we had a lot of students asking questions during the sessions about menstruation, just the basic anatomy and puberty questions. So we wanted to make sure to add that, add in a session about that. What we did was we created a training that focused on anatomy and puberty 101, sex, STDs 101, and contraception 101. So we had the facilitators, before they go into the schools to implement the curriculum, actually make it somewhat of a recommendation, almost a requirement, that they cover that first before they start the curriculum, because they found that while they were doing it, while they were implementing, they had a lot of questions about that. And when you're doing it in schools, you have a limited amount of time. You know, some of them have 41 minutes, some of them have 75 minutes, but they had questions coming off 20 minutes. So what they did was the facilitators requested with the teachers that they come in before they actually implement the curriculum to do an anatomy and puberty session, an STD session, and contraception session, so that they could flow through the curriculum, the sessions, easier. We actually offer trainings on it called Sex Ed 101 for Health Educators. If you are going to implement Making Proud Choices, it is highly recommended that you speak with the teachers or organizations that you're going to be implementing at to have anatomy and puberty sessions at least before you start the curriculum. Because it can pull you back as far as time, and if you are watching your time, it really can throw you off session. One thing the facilitators did also was add in a journal workbook so that the kids had something to write on. They found that some teachers were using the sessions as free time, so they wanted to make sure that the teachers had something to grade. And so the facilitators actually came up with the journal workbook that kids could write in the important messages that they learned during the session. Afterwards, they'd usually have them write in about what they learned. Were they a active participant, just a listener, or both? And that gave the teachers something to grade, which is really important, and also it gave them something to take home when they were done with the curriculum, so that they had a reference book to use. The process of the video development came about because we did heavy monitoring in the classrooms, and we had discussions with the facilitators about what worked and what didn't work. And they found that, of course, a lot of the videos were outdated because they were done in the early 90s, and also they did not relate to our local kids. One of the videos in particular, the subject is HIV, was one of the videos where the kids just kind of tuned out, and so we decided that was the one we would tackle first. We worked with two writers to determine the key messages. We watched the video, made sure that we covered everything that we needed to within the video. We had the draft script reviewed by the HIV review panel back in Hawaii, and we had them check it for appropriateness and accuracy, and we sought feedback from curriculum developers in Pennsylvania. We worked with the authors of the curriculum to make sure that the video fit, because we are concerned about fidelity. And we worked with a local Hawaii student television who worked on the script, casting, shooting, editing, and we needed to make sure that everything fit in. And we also wanted to include youth, which was really important to us. We sought feedback on rough cuts before finalizing. We sent everything to the HR review panel again to make sure that we weren't going to have any problems with it after, because that was really important to us. Within that, we include, it worked into positive youth development. Most of the crew of the video were youth. That's actually my son right there. Little nepotism in there. But he helped with the video shooting, and they were highly involved in the evaluation, and we are actually conducting focus groups to get feedback on the actual video to make sure that we are reaching the audience that we want to.
The evaluation is currently in progress. This video was completed in late July. We have distributed over 100 copies of it to health educators and teachers and youth workers. In addition to the focus groups, we're requesting feedback from all of the users, and we plan to compare the pre- and post-tests and follow-up surveys from previous years using the original "The Subject is HIV" video with results from this coming year to see if there are changes in knowledge, attitudes, or behavior. However, since the key messages are repeated at various points through the curriculum in many ways, we don't really anticipate seeing huge changes in knowledge as a result of our new video. From the focus groups that we have done, what we found was that both groups learned and remembered the key factual information. But with "The Subject is HIV," the students paid close attention, but they clearly were not very engaged with the video. Whereas with our video, "You Cannot Get HIV Like That," the students leaned forward while they were watching. They visibly reacted with laughter, gestures, nudging their friends. They were smiling and energetic at the end, and they appeared to be more engaged in the follow-up discussion as well. Now, assuming the technology works, we're going to show you two scenes from the video. Oops. How do I back this up? Okay, let's try it one more time. Oops, well, you're going to get them out of order. the production quality is actually much better than that. It just doesn't show well in a PowerPoint.
Okay. Take care. And don't forget to go practice your army, practice your way.
Okay, let's see if we can back this up one slide.
You want to back up again?
I want to back up to the previous slide.
Is that it?
There. Okay, good. Oh, that's the wrong one again. That's the same one.
I'm going to go see if I can go even farther. Oops.
Okay. There we go. This is the intro to the video. And the first scene.
Your girlfriend. Like I said, you can only get HIV through four body
Okay. Overall, we're getting really positive results with the Making Proud Choices curriculum. You can see some of our pre- and post-test data in which, you know, students are saying it is harder to reach your goals if you're a teen parent. Having a baby is harder. It's important to me to avoid getting an STD. This was used in a high school classroom, and as you can see, the number of students who were sexually active actually decreased between the beginning and the end of the class. And that is the end of my presentation. I would like to say that if any of you would like to get copies of the full video, if you'll come up to me after the session and give me your business card, we would be happy to mail you one. And as we say in Hawaii, mahalo nui loa. Thank you very much.
Okay, our next presentation will be given by Carla Poindexter-White, so I don't think I need to introduce her again. The presentation is called Can I Change This? Program Adaptation in the Real World.